Welcome to Manzanita Voices, the program for people who love the written word and like to know how it got there. My name is Linda Field. I'm your host. And the purpose of the show is to showcase writers, get them to share their experiences, their advice on writing, on what to do if you get writer's block, on how to publish and market your book. Also, it's just an opportunity for some other writers to let you hear a little bit of what they've written. And one way for you to get your work all out there, all of you, is to send it to me for the morning workout. On every show, I take a couple minutes to read a poem or short fiction that you send in to me. And I love to have this opportunity to give you a chance to hear your work read on the air and let everybody else hear it, too. Today I have a submission from Monica Rose, who happens to be the head of our organization. By the way, we are we're here because of Manzanita Writers Press, which was founded by Monica Rose. And our press is a nonprofit press. It publishes books for writers, of course, and we put on workshops. We try to do everything we can to educate and motivate writers, and this show is part of that. And Monica came out with a book last year called River by the Glass. It's a book of poetry, very lovely book, and this poem appeared in it. And she thought it would be nice for me to read it for you today. It's called I. A donut does not know that it exists. It does not know that it contains a cosmic I. A wink encircles the whole. A moment, then it is not a wink. Eyelashes, bicycle spokes. On the outside of two dark planets, in milk space, narrowing, widening. If you eat the donut and the whole as one, as you must, the whole hovers. But where? The whole becomes the something around which nothing could fasten itself. Nose in the center of the flower, thrown stone in the pond, pencil point to mirror, wooden spoon in the soup pot, with a name it could lose itself. Suddenly it becomes the core of the blue flower on the tablecloth. The cooked yolk rolls out of the sliced egg like a wheel. It comes to rest in the center of the flower on the tablecloth. It is the cosmic guffaw, the round bellowing of a rolling eye wrapped in a flower of invisibility. It is the eye of my forehead. Monica Rose, I. And you can find that book, that poem, in her book called River by the Glass. And by the way, if you'd like to check out Monica's website, it is MonicaRoseWriter.com, all rolled in together. MonicaRoseWriter.com. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your emails. Give me suggestions for the show. Give me examples of your work. You can email me by at Linda@ManzaMedia.com. That's MANZA Media.com. And I also have a website, www.manzamedia.com, where you can go and hear archive shows and see my blog and check out what I'm doing. I have links to other websites. I try to put a link to people's websites if they've been here on the show or if they have something of interest to other writers. So go there, see what's there. You might find something helpful. I have another morning workout. This one is offered by Kathy Isaac Luke. Kathy was a guest on the show last year, and I had a lot of wonderful comments about her appearance because Kathy has just a hint of a Louisiana accent, and when she reads her poetry, it sounds really, really nice. Her poem, which also can be found in her book called Chrysalides, her poem this morning is called Offspring. In another time, they married, moved around the corner, or across the street. Less often, they moved to their new, to the new country, or the old, their steamer trunks in tow, packed with their bedding, the careful quilts with delicate, even stitching. And you missed them, but adjusted to the silence. Letters arrived with some predictability, and photographs you studied until they were as familiar as their faces. Now, when you think you have adjusted to their absence, they appear unexpectedly on your doorstep to stay or to leave again, taking their belongings or abandoning them, your heart in a state of suspended animation. Offspring. About your grown children. Thank you very much, Kathy. We really appreciate hearing from you. Now, I have a great guest today. Her name is Lucy Hackett, and everybody in Manzanita Writers Press knows her because she gave a workshop for us one time that was really great. It's Lucy is in the media, has been in the media for her whole career, and knows a lot about the mechanics of it, how it works, what's effective, what isn't. And the workshop she gave was on sending out press releases. And she's going to be talking about that today as well as a lot of other things. So I suggest that you get some writing material handy because you're going to want to jot down some of this information that you hear from her. People, you don't have to be a writer to know how to send out, to need to know how to send out a press release. If you want to publicize the bake sale that your church is having, or something that the school of that your children go to is putting on to raise money, or if there's an art show that you're taking part in, or any reason at all that you want to publicize an event, you need to send out to know how to send out an effective press release. And the one to tell you how to do that is Lucy Hackett. Lucy works here at KBGC. She is in the news department. She's on every morning helping to inform the listeners about what's going on in Calaveras County and Amador County during the morning. And she conducts interviews. And it's my pleasure to welcome you, Lucy.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here again.
Yes, again. She was here this morning, and here she is again. So, Lucy, would you tell us a little bit about your background and your whole career in media?
Sure. I majored going. We'll go to the beginning, the very beginning. I majored in college. Well, actually, I had an emphasis in high school in theater arts. When I started college, I did do some theater in college, and then that just seemed like it was probably not going to be the most practical thing. So I ended up getting a degree in environmental design, which is a little bit more than being an interior decorator and not quite being an architect. And when I graduated in late 1970s as a 22-year-old hippie girl with a degree in architectural or in environmental design, I wasn't exactly equipped to advise someone who has $50,000 to spend on living room furniture as to what they should buy and decorate their house with. So it was pretty clear that I probably needed to some life experience before I was going to be able to, you know, put my degree to work. So I started working in printing. And of course, if you work in printing, at some point you often find yourself working at newspapers. And so that's where eventually I started doing graphic arts with newspapers. I worked some great experiences along the way. I worked for Blue Mountain Arts Publishing, which is a very well-known greeting card company in Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. Very popular in the late 70s, early 80s. A lot of cards that were, their classic card was the one with the seagull. A lot of them were relationship cards. So there was a little seagull on the beach and something, you know, sort of poetic about feelings.
Oh, and this is the time of Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Exactly, so Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Yeah.
So I worked for them for a while, and then I worked also for, then I moved to Arizona and worked for Lisa Frank greeting cards, greeting cards and stickers. Lisa Frank, very well known to little girls who were sticker collectors when sticker madness, which has somewhat subsided, but worked for them. That was a great experience because it was nationwide marketing for unicorns and teddy bears and things that are pink and purple.
So were you in the marketing? Or
so
did you
in there, I was still working in graphic arts and in production, on how you get things printed, how you get them distributed.
Hmm.
And I also, and from there I went, I actually was hired a moment, I was looking for a better job with fewer hours. I was working a lot of hours at Lisa Frank. And I just started to do some cold calling. Excuse me. And I happened to call. This is a great advice for people who are looking for work when they're young. I called the owner. I called the Tucson Magazine, which is like Sacramento Magazine. It's city magazine.
Oh, okay.
You know, food activities.
Mm-hmm.
You
or
know.
Up here, maybe Lodestar?
It's a little bit more... A little more upscale.
Or Sierra Season.
Full color monthly magazine.
Oh, okay.
In Tucson. And so I called looking to see if they had any jobs in their art department. And as it happened, the art department had just quit. And so the owner said, can you work today? And I said, I thought I could. And having not ever actually worked in a full color magazine, but being young enough not to be smart enough to know I didn't know what I was doing, I started working for them. So I art directed that magazine for a while. And again, I was really in the art department, but at that point I started to realize that it was about communicating. Even when you are arranging someone else's words and pictures and captions, you are beginning to tell the story. What's the impact? What do you see first? What, you know, how do you hook a reader into a story
and get them interested?
Right, visually, before they even, you know, what's the headline, for example?
Uh-huh. What grabs them?
Right.
And I'm going to stop you right there because we have to break for announcements, but we'll be right back with more from Lucy Hackett about how she got into her career. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. We're talking today with Lucy Hackett, and we've been hearing about how she got into the entire media business. She came in through on a greeting card.
Yeah, exactly. And really, I think over time, as I moved to the foothills, where there isn't large media outfits, you just begin to wear many hats. So I did a lot of public relations for mining companies, which is obviously a challenge because they don't have great, you know, people don't feel particularly warm and fuzzy about mining.
No, they sure don't.
And so working for community outreach for mining companies, very good work for me. I also did media training for people who work for the mines, in other words, helping them work when things were controversial with the public and with the media, also when there was an accident.
Did they ever have any bad accidents when you were working for them?
I didn't ever work on anything that involved a fatality with a mine.
Oh, that's good.
We prepared them for that because although safety is a huge concern, things happen. So and sometimes things happen, small things happen that are still troublesome, you know, a blast that goes a little wider than it was supposed to. Rocks fall on people's house, and for example,
they do.
Oh, sometimes
if you live too close to
sometimes,
the mine, you might.
Yeah,
get
you know, it's not supposed to happen, but
oh,
but yeah. So those are issues that was good practice. I spent about a year working for TSPN TV as their news anchor. I've written for newspapers. I've written for a number of clients who need, you know, someone to help them with their media work, as well as doing a lot of marketing. So, you know, in the foothills, you wear a lot of hats. You you do whatever you can do to make a living, I guess.
Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment. I have no complaints. And now this, now with KBGC, I do the. We host the morning talk show. Jim and I do, and he is the pro, and I'm the rookie. And but it's a good. I really enjoy the show. Jim and I have known each other for a long time. We've always just yakked about things, and that's pretty much what we do in the morning now.
Yeah, it sounds very natural. You're very, very good together.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So, okay, it was with the mining companies when you were working with them that you became aware of what's necessary in putting together a press release.
Sure. Well, working in PR, I worked with some great professionals who set good examples for me. And then working in media outlets, worked for newspapers, worked for magazines, worked for radio and TV, you're on the receiving end. And that's really helpful. You know, what catches your attention? I also edit a national magazine for chrysanthemum growers and showers. And so I get submissions there as well. Mm-hmm. And So think people send me things, and I know now, sort of like, well, I'm a person just like all other editors, what bugs me, what's attractive, what works, and what's easy for me to use. And I think that's really a key to people who need to get some media attention, is the more you understand about the demands of people who are working in the media, on people who are working in the media, the more you can provide them something that's easy to use so that they can help you with, you know, in other words, if you make it too hard for them, they will just look at you, whatever you've sent them, and go, oh, this is too hard. And deadlines being what they are, and the time crunch.
They're always under the gun for time. They don't have a lot of time to work with what you've sent them. So what are the most important things that people should remember to include, and how to present some of their information for a press release?
I think one of the hardest things, the most important and maybe the hardest, is to figure out, you need to do a little research. What does that media outlet, we'll call the radio station or the newspaper, who is their audience, and what do they present to that audience? So, you know, if you are sending something to a literary magazine, it would be completely different, maybe, than what you send to the radio station here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to figure out, how will this be interesting to our listeners here in the foothills? So, particularly with someone who's a writer, you need to figure out, you know, what's the hook? What's news for us, you know, in our minds? What do we see that our readers would be interested? Either the author is someone that we might know or have seen about town, or the subject is something of interest to foothill residents, or is this just so wacky and crazy that we get a kick out of it? I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you might hook interest, but you really do, I think, need to be creative about that, and you may have a different approach for different readers and readerships or listeners. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, what you send to the Sacramento Bee may be different than what you send to media outlets in Jackson or Sonora or Angels Camp or San Andreas. So you really need to think about that and make sure that you've done a little bit of homework and aren't just sending the same thing to everybody, because I think you'll get a better response if you try to customize it a little bit.
And how long should a press release be?
Anymore, pretty much a press release just needs to be one page.
One page.
You can provide additional information, links to other people's reviews, maybe, or that's frequently what we get now, is a press release plus a link to a website, a link to maybe on the website, maybe there's other reviews or more information that would give you some more background. But one page is plenty.
Are photographs a good idea?
Photographs are great, I think. And again, be a little bit creative, you know, in terms of your subject and your news interest. If you are a foothill writer, send me a picture of you in the foothills. You know, a tweedy jacket and a pipe in a library doesn't really say, I live in the foothills.
Right. You should be out in front of a big rock.
You probably should. Go stand by one of your cows.
and have all those trees in the background and the hills.
Editors are just like everybody else. Most of us look at the pictures and read the captions first. So, you know, have your picture, if your book is about food or if your book is a mystery, you know, take a photo of yourself in the kitchen or with a magnifying glass or something that tells a story.
Uh-huh.
Your pensive, you know, authorish chin, hand on your chin may not tell me very much about your book or
that's right,
or your writing or your...
Put yourself kind of in the setting of what you're going to be...
Absolutely.
Presenting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, they probably should tell the newspaper or the magazine how to get in touch with them in case there are any questions.
Obviously, yeah. Good contact information. It really is helpful to have a website. I know this sounds like another thing you need to do, but it's, you know, of course, the internet is just such a big part of how we just sort of check things out. If somebody kind of sends me something really out of the blue, and I can go look at their website and go, oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
now I get it. It's just a little bit more information. Even if it's only one page or two pages on the internet, mm-hmm. it's just a little bit more there. So
it's another facet to the...
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's not a requirement. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously. And email is a great way to reach people. We hardly get anything in the U.S. Postal System.
In the snail mail
anymore.
No.
Yeah.
So email's okay.
Email is okay.
So if they don't know the email for the newspaper, for instance, they should call the paper and say
call and ask. And I mean, it doesn't hurt to mail something. Mm-hmm. And if you have something, you know, interesting to mail, if you want to send a photograph, if you want to send cookies, that's frequently done. Not so much here in the foothills because we frankly are eager to work with people who are doing things locally and that are interesting.
Yes, I can tell that by listening to the radio station and by reading all the wonderful newspapers that are here in the area. I can see that that one hand feeds the other.
Sure,
and
sure. We're anxious to find out who you are and what you're doing and give you a little time to share that. But if you're working, if you're trying to get something through to someone in New York or San Francisco or
uh-huh.
LA, you have a challenge. And people do crazy things. They put together, you know, some sort of, you know, goodie basket that or their product or...
So they can be bribed.
So they can be bribed. And so someone goes, well, I wonder what this is.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to the stack of emails that they may get.
Uh-huh,
so, you know, again, there we're looking at where is this going to end up? How, you know, how jammed is this person going to be? How much attention do I need to attract?
Mm-hmm. Now, I've sent out a lot of emails thanks to Manzanita Writers Press. I've become sort of familiar with doing that. And I used to feel apologetic about it, like, oh, those newspaper people, they're so busy, they've got deadlines, and now I'm sending them something else to add to their pile.
Oh, yeah.
But I learned from your workshop that not only is it perfectly okay to send press releases, but it's okay, in fact, a good idea, to contact them afterwards. Call them up and say, did you get it? Do you have any
mm-hmm.
questions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and remember that they're very busy. Don't expect to take very much of their time
mm-hmm.
on the phone. But it's fine to give a call and say, did you get it? Is there anything else you'd like? Do we have time before we take a break?
We've got about 2 minutes.
Okay, a little story. I got a call a gal called the radio station here. Her name is Polly Frost. She recently had a one-woman show at Sutter Creek Theater.
Oh.
And she wanted to be on our morning show. She called when the station wasn't open. She left a very charming voicemail message on our voicemail. Also sent an email. Her message was actually fairly long. She said, this is my, you know, I'm Polly Frost. I have a one-woman show. This is kind of what it's like. I'd love to be a guest. I've been a guest, you know, in these other broadcast, you know, venues and...
Mm-hmm.
And I got a feel from her personality on her voicemail. She followed, I was interested, I sent her, I did respond to her email because I went, I looked for her email, I found it in my many emails. I sent her an answer, she was very prompt, we set up a time, she checked in with me a day or so before her interview. And so in other words, she was very professional, she was persistent, she was available when she said she was, she checked with me on how long would it be and what would I like her to be prepared to talk about. She sent me some other reviews and her blog, so I got a feel for, you know, background. So she did her homework, she knew what we did, she heard our morning show, and she knew what would be appropriate, and she, you know, kept after us, and we were glad to have her on.
And she made it easy for you.
And she made it easy for
me.
And
desirable.
Yeah, so there was nothing wrong with leaving that voicemail, sending me an email, making sure we got it, and, you know, that kind of follow-through that you would do without being a pest.
That's,
you know,
right. Well,
but that didn't feel pesty. I was glad to have her, so.
Yeah, okay. Those are all really good tips, and we'll be back with more, so stay tuned for Lucy Hackett. Okay, welcome back to Manzanita Voices. Just a reminder, check out the website for the show at www.manzamedia.com to see the shows that have been archived there so far. There are 12 shows there now, and pretty soon we're going to be adding 8 to 10 more, so you've got lots to choose from. There's lots of good listening there, and I have to say, I love my guests. They are fabulous. I wouldn't be anywhere without them. It would be a pretty dull show with nobody to talk to, and they are always entertaining and full of information, and no exception to Lucy today. She's doing great with us, and we're hearing about all this information about sending out press releases. What else do you have to tell us about that?
Well, I think one of the things that people wonder about is, should they attach files or should they put them in the body of the email?
Oh.
That's a question that comes up. Many times, depending on how busy they are, a lot of editors don't really want to download attachments. It just takes extra time. I actually, with our local audience, I generally do both. I put whatever the press release is, I copy it and I paste it in the body of the email. And then I also attach it in case sometimes they come through a little bit more easily formatted. If it's something that I think they want to be able to copy and paste, which they will do often, and then edit from that point.
Mm-hmm.
It sometimes comes over a little bit better. So they have a choice that way. They don't have to download it if they don't want to, but they can. But I think it's very valuable to have what is the content of your calendar announcement or your press release right in the email, so they can scan down that. Sometimes you've sent it maybe to not quite the right person, then it can easily just be quickly forwarded, and it's not a mystery what's in this document that someone just sent me.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So you want to make sure that you have a good description in your subject line that tells what they're going to see, that the press release is there in the body. You can even put your photo, if you're sending a photo, right on your email too. Stick it right there on your email rather than, you can also attach that photo if you want, if for a higher resolution version.
Oh, that's
again,
right, because it won't come out very well in the email.
It may not. So that way, if they need a high resolution photo for Color Magazine or something, then they'll have it. Or they'll ask you, they'll email you back and say, hey, this is great. Do you have any more photos or do you have bigger photos for us?
Oh, great.
But that way, that gives them a choice. So, if you are a Mac user, you definitely need to put everything in your email because most media departments all work on the PC format. So, and it's a pain in the neck to translate things. I'm not quite sure if any more now. Maybe PCs will open Mac Word documents. I don't know. So if you work on a Mac, that's great. Don't ask everyone else to do that for you too. So the other thing another thing that I see from writers that you need to think differently when you're working with the media and with marketing, any kind of marketing and promoting of your work, if that's what you're doing, mm-hmm. is you need to start with the ending. We talk about the inverted pyramid. Writers, I think, are often trained to sort of build up, you know, give some clues, kind of build in, introduce characters, and get to the big finish. Well, in the media, you need to start with that big finish. You need to tell them at the start what is the very best to goodest part.
and then give the background.
And then say, oh, and here's why. And here's the supporting reasons for the fabulousness of all this. So that is a hard thing. And I think also a lot of times when you learn writing in school, you learn an introductory sentence,
that's
supporting
right.
points, and your conclusion. But it's you really need to turn that inside out when you're writing a press release. Very often, if you're too slow to get to the point, no one's going to get there, and your work will be overlooked. So be sure to start with the juiciest morsel you have, you know, what you think is the best news hook, the most intriguing thing you have to offer, and don't worry about giving it all away. a good editor or interview guest will want to build to that in the interview, but they need to know what it is before they start or before they can figure out how it will work for them and their show and whatever they're doing.
And so they first want to know, is this something I want to spend my time on?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You got to get that up front. So open with the very strongest thing, follow up with key details, and they really should get less and less interesting as you go. And then the final information usually is your contact information.
That's true, because the way a news article is written, mm-hmm. Sometimes that if there's a shortage of space, they cut from the bottom, don't they?
They still do, right. They won't cut your contact information off the bottom if that's important. But yes, they're going to start, generally speaking, they're going to cut from the bottom. So that's the way you want to write, too.
You've got to top load it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And then kind of back into it.
Uh-huh.
Also, it's really good to put something in there that really gives people, you don't have to be all business. You know, put some character into it. Give yourself a quote. If you're promoting your own work, or if you are, if you're promoting
a quote from a friend or someone who has reviewed your
book, a quote
book
from a friend, or even from yourself, something that you've said to audiences, something you really like, a quote from your book, again, something colorful somebody else has said about you, something your husband has said about you or your kids, you know, if they think you're crazy for writing this book, put that in the press release. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
It's human interest, and that's what really everybody's looking for is
so don't be stilted, don't be wooden. Just
right,
be really
right. Try to be professional, make sure everything's spelled right.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the format, but then try to be honest. Try to be, and I don't mean honest like I know you're not going to fib in your press release. Well, you might a little bit, but be as real as you can. You know, what is real about your characters and what is real about your writing, what is real about you as a topic that will draw in not only the person who's going to make the decision about whether it's going to run or not, but their readers as well, and get somebody to want to say, I want to go buy that book,
yeah.
or I want to read those poems.
Uh-huh.
You know, what's the human connection that I will make, or what will I get from that mm-hmm. as a reader?
Okay, and should you write it the way it might appear in the paper so that
sure.
the person doesn't have to do anything?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, things
often...
So you
often could write it like an article, not just
in,
bullet
in local media, things often run verbatim if they're well enough done.
Oh.
You know, if they can be picked up and slapped in a hole somewhere, that just might happen, in which case you get all your stuff in there.
Yeah, and they love you because you've done their work for them.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's more likely to fit in a... You know, make sure if you're writing something that will, you know, if you're sending something that will fit in like the lifestyle section of a newspaper or a magazine, then look at their stuff. How long is it? You know, what is it usually one photo and four paragraphs? Well, write four paragraphs and make it
do it that way
and make it work. Yeah. So again, I think you need to be creative in this work as well. I think sometimes people become self-conscious when
mm-hmm.
they're writing about themselves and their own work, and mm-hmm. then they sort of retreat into a formality that's kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're a creative writer,
Just put yourself out there.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
That's right. This is your big shot.
This is
so
your big
do
shot.
Your best. And
yeah. And again, you know, I think also we're a little bit bashful sometimes because in the back of our mind it's like, what if they say no? What if they're not interested? What if? So just like when you put yourself into your writing, yeah, there is a risk of rejection, but that's the risk you take as a writer. So go for it. What
go
the heck?
For it. That's right. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Right.
Now, what about pet peeves? Are there things that people do with press releases that just drive you crazy?
Sure. I think there are some things that don't usually read very well. One thing that's a fine line to walk, and that is a lot of superlatives. You pretty much need to give those to somebody else. If you're sending out a press release about your book signing or your latest publication or whatever, you need to be careful about extravagant adjectives. You know, again, that just sort of strikes people as being a little over the top. If this is, you know,
like,
brilliant, yeah. If someone else has called you brilliant, quote
it.
If you call yourself brilliant, it's probably going to stick just a hair. You maybe need to be just a little more humble. Maybe have somebody else read it, your work, you know, your press release, and say, how does this feel? You know, you do want to highlight your strongest points, but be careful.
And be positive.
Yeah, and be positive, but be careful about big, big adjectives, I would say. There are some spelling and grammar pet peeves that I have. People frequently misuse apostrophes. In fact, I do it myself by accident, but it is something to check. Make sure that, you know, if you're using an apostrophe, it is a possessive or a contraction, you have it right. And that's a hard one to check. Spell check doesn't catch that for you. If something happened in the 1800s or in the 1700s, or what, it doesn't require an apostrophe. If you have a question about something, there's great style manuals online, and there's also great handbooks. So get...
Okay, what do you recommend online, a good style manual?
Well, sometimes I just Google. You know, is it this or is it that? You know, and you'll get two or three opinions. There's some great, there used to be one that was, what was she called, like the Grammar Queen or something like that. There are a couple websites that will, you know, that have that stuff up for you. And then there's also newspaper style, and newspaper style is a little bit different than publishing style sometimes. One of the things that newspaper style is that you may notice in press releases, follow this pretty closely. Newspaper style, generally a paragraph is one sentence, and that's not generally how you would write other things.
No.
My press releases usually have one sentence paragraphs, maybe two sentences, or maybe a quote might have two sentences in it. But a paragraph, if you look closely at most newspaper writing, it's one sentence per paragraph.
And that, I suppose, is because of the narrowness of the columns, and things have to fit, and people shouldn't have to worry about getting lost reading a lot of text in a small area.
Right. And I think it's hard. It helps you. Paragraph indentation helps you enter. It helps you visually enter. And so a 6-inch, 7-8-inch long column of writing is difficult. It's not difficult.
It's overwhelming.
Right. Yeah. Eye just skips over it.
You don't go into it. You say, I'm not going to go there.
And of course, the internet and the amount of material that we all read and that we see online has generally trended things to just get shorter and shorter and shorter. But don't be tempted to abbreviate. Don't use ampersands instead of the word A. You know, the letter spelled A N D spelled out. Or any other, unless you are writing in a blog that is for internet reading. If you're sending a press release.
So if you're saying tickets are $10, is it a dollar sign with 10, or is it 10?
Generally, no. Generally, money is a dollar sign, 10 period 00. That would be newspaper style in most cases.
Okay.
In newspaper style, they spell out numbers under 10. and then use the numerals after that. With some exceptions, sometimes if a paragraph has a lot of numbers in it, they may go to using numerals. So just look at the publication and figure out how they tend to handle things.
Okay. Hey, this is great stuff. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. This is Linda Field, and we're talking with Lucy Hackett today. We've been talking with Lucy about how if you are in need of publicizing any event, you don't have to be a writer putting on a book signing or a reading somewhere in a library or a bookstore. You could be somebody doing your church work, wanting to publicize a church social, or doing something to publicize your child's school event. Anything where you need to put out a press release, Lucy's been telling you how to do it. So we have just a little bit more to finish up with that. Lucy, what else?
Sure. Well, I think just kind of to summarize, there's, again, use your online resources. There are great guidelines how to write. I'm sure if you Googled how to write press release, you'll get three or four, you know, great how-to sites and examples of well-written press releases. And you can use those as models. And for most of the things that we do, you know, don't get writer's block over this thing. Get the facts in there. Spell things right. Spell things correctly. And remember, it's like the Woody Allen saying that I forget if it's 90% or 80% of success is showing up. In other words, probably the most important thing is to get this thing done and get it out into the world where it will do you some good, rather than agonizing over, you know, everything that's in it. I think that the other thing that I think about a lot of times is what, because I read everything. I read a lot of books, fiction and nonfiction, as well as in my work for the radio station. I'm reading constantly on the web, and I wonder to myself what I start to think about what is it that we love about something when we love to read it. You know, what is mm-hmm. what is that mm-hmm. that something?
Yeah.
And I recently read a book titled Different by Young Mi Moon. She's a professor at Harvard Business School. And the book is about how in our quest to differentiate products and stuff out in the world, and to find our little niche and to add all our little bells and whistles, we've effectively removed much differentiation. In other words,
everything is homogenized.
Well, kind sort of.
Yeah.
Everything has everything now.
Ah.
Try to explain to someone young the difference between a Honda and a Toyota.
Oh.
So it's a car, and it's made in Japan. And Toyotas are kind of Toyota-ish, and Hondas are more Honda-y.
So Toyota has a little oval.
Oh, there
logo
you go.
The
there you
and
go.
The Honda
there,
has
you know.
A little
so,
H.
So what's happened? You know,
about
I
it.
Mean, in order to be a successful hotel, you have to have wonderful beds. You have to have free soap and shampoo. You know, the lobby has to be lovely. You have to be
have
able
Wi-Fi
to.
Wi-Fi in the rooms.
But they all have all those things. Tell
yeah,
me the Westin, the Radisson, the, you know, the Grand Hotels.
Well, the Doubletree used
the
to
Double
put.
Tree.
They used to put chocolate chip cookies on
now
your
everyone
pillow.
Puts something yummy
yeah,
on your pillow.
Does. Yeah,
so her point is that, she makes a wonderful point in her book, Different, that some of the things that we love don't offer any of those things. For many years, furniture was sold by having large showrooms, beautifully arranged, with lots of salespeople who will help you do all of your decorating and assembling and upholstering.
Mm-hmm.
Everything lasts for years and years and years. Everything is delivered to your home and set up, very sort of first class.
Mm-hmm.
IKEA.
Yeah.
Has a store that's far away from your house, Oh, by the way, the furniture is not going to be assembled. You're going to have to put it together yourself. There's not going to be anyone there to help you pick it out. You're going to have to go walk around in a big warehouse, find it yourself, heave it into the cart, and when you, after you pay for it, after standing in a very long line, you're going to have to shove it into your own car and take it home.
That's
and
right.
We love it.
We do.
We love it. It's
aren't
like
we crazy?
The Disneyland of furniture.
So oh, isn't this great? I can do it all myself.
I can do it all myself. Exactly. Google came along after AOL and Yahoo, which offered us every conceivable thing that you might want to do on a web, on a home page. Google came along with nothing but a little clicking icon that said, you know, what do you want to know today? And gave us a little icon, and we just started typing into it, and we loved it.
Yeah.
We didn't want to, we instantly differentiated what Google gave us as opposed to what we were getting from AOL and from Yahoo and from the other web search engines.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the lesson there is that we are all very saturated and very inundated.
Oh,
and
I feel that way.
I do too.
Overwhelmed.
And so what we really do want is we really do want to connect. We really do want to communicate with each other. And we need to sort of cut through the crap somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And be different. Be willing to, and again, this is subtle. You can't just be different for the sake of being different. You need to be different in a way that expresses what you do and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then be willing to go there. Don't worry about, is this how everyone else is? Is this the way someone famous got there?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times we really do need to do what, you know, express who we are. And, you know, again, we've talked about all the rules about press releases and the things that you need to do, and it's good to know that information. And then at some point, I think you just sort of need to let go and be expressive. And I think that's recognized by your audiences,
mm-hmm.
and by the media, if that's who you're trying to reach, as something genuine. And if it's interesting, and if you're genuine, I think you and your work will be recognized at some point and by some audience.
Mm-hmm.
I think much of what happens, you know, when people become nationally known or have bestsellers.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be, but that isn't, that. Honestly, is that why you're writing? You know,
no, writing to finish the book.
Writing
that would be so wonderful.
Much of that has to do with luck and timing, and sometimes just persistence, time on the ground. You know, very often overnight success has been working for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of slogging it out.
That's right. Yeah.
And there are certainly professionals who can help you, but again, you know, doing it just like somebody else and adding little bits from everyone else who has been successful is just going to sort of get you into the big pool of everyone who's doing it the same.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess I think that's the creative challenge, and that's true for artists of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us in our I do work for my husband, who is a remodeling contractor, and I draw plans and help him and his clients with their design projects.
Yeah,
and those are communicating too. How do you tell the story of how these people want to live and get it built under budget and express simply in a way that communicates something about what they what's their romantic story they want to tell about their who they are,
uh-huh.
in their kitchen,
yeah.
or their patio or whatever. So I think that a level of expression is available to us in many ways, in cooking, in talking to each other, in writing, of course,
sure.
you know,
uh-huh.
poetry, fiction, even nonfiction. You know, you are trying to communicate with other humans,
yes,
in a world with a lot of noise.
And get noticed, yes, right, because there is so much noise out there.
Yeah.
So, and a press release, going back to the basics, what you were saying in the beginning, a press release is just one page, so don't let it scare you. In that one page, you've got to get down the who, where, one, who,
yeah,
where, what, when, and why.
And why.
Mm-hmm. And throw a picture in there and write a little paragraph or two to tell those five W's, and mm-hmm, you pretty much got it.
You pretty much do.
Yeah.
And if you're working with a local, regional, you know, if you're working in the foothills where we are, remember that editors and media people are people too. They're going to be interested in the same kinds of things you're interested in, and they are often busy people who are sometimes on deadline,
mm-hmm,
and so you need to just sort of be as cued into that as you can, and don't be insulted if you don't get a lot of time if someone is working on deadline, because reporters sometimes can be a little short, especially if they're close to deadline.
Right. Now, one other question I just thought of is, if someone has sent out maybe press releases one or two times before, they may have compiled a whole list of email addresses of, mm-hmm, places to send press releases. And isn't it true that if you send out, say, more, you've got one press release and maybe it's pretty generic and it can go to lots of places at once without being rewritten, it's pretty straightforward. So you highlight all the addresses of maybe 50 media sources that you want to send this press release to, and you send it to all 50 at once. They may not get it because it might go to their spam. Is, mm-hmm, that true? You have to shorten the list.
I would make the list shorter, maybe no more than 10. Mm-hmm. And I would probably blind carbon copy. I would send it to myself and blind carbon copy them. So that they don't know that everybody else is getting the same thing.
Uh-huh. We'll send it to, the BCC.
Sure,
yes, so
sure.
That they, yes, you don't want them to know that they're just one of,
oh, right, right,
many.
I mean,
they
everyone...
They won't feel flattered.
Right, if there's a, particularly if they think there might be a scoop involved, you know, it's just, oh, yeah, cool, we want this.
Yeah.
Everyone else got it, too.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just forget it then. Because,
there is,
yeah,
there is competition between media. Not so much for things that aren't top news, but often for even for lifestyle things. If we have an interview, you know, it'd be like, oh, you know, if somebody else had the same interview on the same day, kind of,
uh-huh,
in another outlet that might be heard. So, because you want to try to be
unique,
offering something,
yeah,
unique,
yeah,
you know. So, I mean, it's obviously done frequently.
Yeah.
People go on book tours and they're on three shows in one day in New York. So that's
I mean, you even see that on the nighttime,
oh, yeah,
talk shows.
Yeah, absolutely. But
they make their rounds.
That's a nice problem to have. So if
it
you have that problem.
Well, okay, we certainly got the scoop from Lucy on press releases. We were going to talk about her philosophy of communication and business, too,
and
but
I think
we don't have time.
And I think we did. I think it was really about trying to be real and try to communicate, try to really tell your story in all ways that you can, in the way that you write, in the way that you present it. Again, we talked about your photograph, talk about your headline, the materials that you use, the way that you dress, where it is that you're trying to reach out to people.
Yeah, consider your source.
Right, exactly. You know, if you write about plants, you should be talking to people who have nurseries and plant and garden clubs and all kinds of, you know, people who are interested in plants,
mm-hmm,
and websites that are about gardening and magazines that are about gardening,
mm-hmm,
and maybe reaching the New York Times isn't what you need to do.
Right. So you target your message to the people that you're trying to reach.
Sure.
And you consider what they're looking for.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know where those audiences may begin to bloom and grow,
mm-hmm,
so to speak.
Bloom and grow.
But if you're having a hard time getting a niche, you know, maybe you need to start going and visiting with book clubs or smaller independently owned bookstores or, mm-hmm, poetry
groups. Or attending some workshops.
Or attending some workshops. Sure. Right, exactly. Yeah. So depending on what you're trying to do, you may want to make your reach that smaller audience and see where it takes you.
Okay. Well, thanks for all this information. This is really helpful. I hope we've had people out there just writing fast and furiously, taking notes, and remember this information, because
sure.
Next time you have to send a press release, you just think of Lucy Hackett.
If you want to reach me, you can reach me at KVGC Radio, lucy@kvgcradio.com. If you have your own press release, or if you'd like to be a guest on our morning show, we'd love to have you and we'd love to hear from you.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, Lucy. It was nice having you with us.
It's my pleasure.
Come back and see us again next week, folks, for another Manzanita Voices.
You've been listening to Manzanita Voices, a production of the Manzanita Writers Press, an affiliate of the Calaveras County Arts Council.